The Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with Unpost. MyBills.ie. Help save time with bill payment online for free. Unpost. Do more. The Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with Unpost. Sterling and dollars are commission free at selected post offices. Unpost. Do more.
Hello there, and a very good morning to you. And you're very welcome indeed to the programme this morning. And we'll start today with the Red Tops because the Irish Daily Mirror, the Irish Daily Star, the Herald, the Sun are all leading with that shooting incident at the creche yesterday, which is just utterly shocking. And you think of small kids around and sometimes you think the world has gone insane. Anyway, the Irish Daily Mail, perhaps another bit of insanity, murdered by our feeble bail laws. They say criminals out on bail murdered almost 100 victims and raped a further 218 people over a 10-year period. And that's the criminal justice system that's supposed to be protecting us, but there you go. Now, the Irish Times. Labour keeps up pressure on Callanan despite Taoiseach warning ministers. Quinn call for Gorda Commissioner to end the controversy signals cabinet differences. If any minister has any issue to raise, they should raise it at the cabinet, says the Taoiseach. And that's the Irish Times main story. And they also have Ivor Bell charged over murder of Jean McConville, a 77-year-old West Belfast man. The Irish Independent. Cabinet rift deepens over Gorda chief as Labour defies Kenny. And they have another little story down at the end of it, which is referring to the data protection report yesterday on the Gardaí. And it's kind of worrying as well what they have to say, because the Commissioner, Billy Hawkes, and his team were particularly disturbed. And they quote the incident of a model. Now, she's not named, and I presume it's a she, maybe it's a he. And she was checked on more than 80 times, which seems a little excessive. I presume, I'm not 100% sure, that that is checking to see if this model had something squashed or quashed or not, but I know not, or maybe it was just plain old human curiosity. The Irish Examiner, Minister defies Taoiseach in Gorda chief row, coalition crisis after Quinn backs calls for Callanan apology, threat of relentless action in aviation pensions row, and they also have the story, veteran Republican 77 charged in connection with the McConville murder. And given that we were talking to two of her offspring not that long ago, I imagine that they will be pleased at least to see that there is movement on that. Now, as you can see all over the papers, we're still into penalty points, quashing the Gorda Commissioner, the minister, well, two ministers, in the sense that two ministers have to deal with the law in terms of transport and traffic, as well as the other ministers that have come out, and the matters continue. Gay Byrne, as chair of the Road Safety Authority, what your minister, shall we say, said the other day was at one of your meetings. Now, I gather you also think it would be useful if the Gorda Commissioner could put an end to the controversy.
Well, good morning, Marion.
Morning to you.
Thank you for having me with you. This started last Sunday on my extraordinarily successful and hugely listened to radio programme on Lyric FM.
Oh, good.
And I was rather dreaming out loud, and that's all I was doing, so I don't know what importance anybody attaches to that. I was merely saying that we are all called upon from time to time in life to do the right thing, even to our own disadvantage, and we somehow know what is the right thing to do. And so I said, wouldn't it be wonderful if Alan Chatter as minister and Martin Callanan as commissioner did the right thing here, it seemed to me, and that would be to come out and say, we got it wrong, the two boys got it right, they have been abominably badly treated, and we apologise unreservedly for saying what we were saying and doing what we did. And in order to make reparation in some way, we will go out of our way to, A, reinstate John Wilson into the Garda Síochána, if that is his wish, And B, we would recommend that Sergeant McHale be promoted to the next rank or whatever that is.
Do you, how many chances do you think are there are?
Well, I was careful to say that, yes, I knew that some of my 720 listeners to Lyric FM on Sunday afternoon would probably say, yes, Gay, and tell us the next one you have, which is called Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
Yeah.
But I said that that was possibly unusually cynical for people to say, but there you are. I merely expressed the dream. And therefore, dear reader, you can imagine my surprise when on Thursday morning at our conference, our own minister, Leo Varadkar, by which I mean transport minister,
yes,
got up and pretty well allied himself or aligned himself with this point of view. And he said that far from, he actually never used the word disgusting, but far from the word that had been used in relation to the whistleblowers, his word would be distinguished. And he instantly got a round of applause, a very loud round of applause, and it seemed to me a fairly sustained round of applause, from those who were gathered in Dublin Castle on Thursday morning. So that's that.
The just based on the data protection report yesterday, where the data commissioner now was saying that the pulse was being used sometimes, as it were, you know, to keep an eye on well-known people. I mean, that wouldn't be acceptable practice.
Well, of course not. But I that's a separate thing. I don't very clearly understand the data protection legislation and all of that. I know what it's for, and I know that much about it. But it seems to me that checking on a model, whoever she is, a model, did you say 80 times? Or?
Yes.
Yes. Well, it seems to me that somebody is just snooping. And it could even be the beginning of a stalker thing. It sounds unhealthy one way or the other to me, and I think something should be done about that, and somebody should find out who exactly went into this piece of data 80 times to check on this one single person, who happens to be a woman by definition, that happens to be a glamorous model kind of person. That is the information we get from the newspaper. But I don't know anything about that.
Right,
really.
Okay. Now, you said that you hoped that more whistleblowers would come forward. But given all that has happened, the commissioner had said that there are 13,000 people who have never opened their beaks and there are just two that did. But you would imagine it would be a little difficult to come forward now.
Well, the question I was asked was, did I think that more people would come forward in view of the treatment of John Wilson and Sergeant McHale? And I said, well, it would be very difficult, but I would hope that they would take succour from the fact that even now Minister Quinn has joined in with Leo Varadkar, and I understand Eamon Gilmore has already
joined his voice,
and Joan Bruton ditto. So it's a growing sort of feeling, and I don't know where the Taoiseach goes from here with his recalcitrant ministers who are simply not doing what he wants them to do. But that also is not my business, and I don't want to be embroiled in interministerial rows and all of that sort of thing, because it's too much for me. But we had talks from all sorts of people on Thursday at our conference, and people have now been critical that we were concentrating on people texting while they were driving. And we only concentrated on texting because we have found worldwide that young people, the target group 17 to 25, 26 drivers, that what they do is text. They don't make phone calls. They just don't make phone calls. What they do is text, and they play around with their iPods and iPads and tablets and going on the internet while they're driving. And we had some startling submissions from people from around the world in this particular field. Can I tell you about one of them? Are you interested?
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
Okay, well, we had one video of two young women driving a car with a double-end camera. That is, one camera was on them, on their faces and what they were doing, and the other camera was ahead on the road. And they were travelling at roughly 50, 55 miles an hour. And the road stretched out ahead of them, a lovely, long, straight road. And the driver girl started to text. And so her head was bobbing up and down as she tried to do two things. And she kept her head down a little too long on one occasion. The car veered off the road onto the grass verge, missed a telegraph pole very, very narrowly, and then skidded back onto the main thoroughfare and went on. And immediately they were passed by a bus travelling in the opposite direction, travelling at 50 miles an hour, a school bus full of children. So the impact speed would have been about 100 miles an hour if she had veered to her left instead of to her right. And the astonishing thing is that on camera, when they realized what had happened, both of these young women burst out laughing uncontrollably and hysterically, and it went on for quite some time. Now, that may have been terror or fright or whatever.
Yes.
But they only stopped laughing when the video was actually shown to them, and they realised how narrowly they missed the telegraph pole and how narrowly they might have missed the bus on the other side if they had veered the other way. And it was a perfect example of what happens to you in texting.
Yeah.
And our own research manager, Velma Burns, in the course of her research, found that in talking to a large group of young people in the same age group, unbelievably, a quarter of them admitted that on foot while they were texting, they had walked into street furniture of one kind or another. They'd actually walked into bus stops or trees or bus stations,
right,
or stone walls while they were texting on foot. And can you imagine the repercussions of that while they're driving?
Yeah. The mind boggles. Absolutely boggles. Can I come back to the penalty points thing? Because the other thing you said, you spoke about the damage that the controversy has done, not only to public confidence, but also within the force among junior ranks.
Well, I thought that one of the awful spin-offs of the controversy is that we all knew that this thing went on. Every man, woman and child in the country knew that if you happened to know a fella who knew a fella who had a third cousin in the Garda Síochána corner, if you got nicked for a traffic offence, you are probably going to get it fixed, or you could get it fixed. What is outrageous about the whistleblower report, and Noel Brett and I received this on the first occasion 2 years ago in 2012, and we immediately the next day sent it to the ACNG and our minister,
mm-hmm,
because it seemed to us that if even a fraction of it was true, we were involved in a criminal offence, and that was outside our remit. So we did that instantly. What is depressing about this is the sheer extent of the thing.
Yeah.
That the first report we got, I think, involved 5,000 names, and that was just the
first
part.
And did you see the names, Gay?
Pardon?
Did you get to see the
names? Yes, I got to see the names, yes. I got to see the details of everything. And to take up your point, what is most depressing is that all those young members of the Garda Síochána, young men and women who are out at all hours of the day and night in all kinds of weather on the side of the road running tests on people and so on, and they are being undermined not by the crooks and not by the drug dealers and not by the vagabonds. They're being undermined by their own superior officers. And that seems to me to be a most crushingly depressing aspect of the job from their point of view.
Right. There's a rumour doing the rounds, and maybe it is just a rumour, that you and Noel Brett were called in by Commissioner Callaghan and told more or less that this was none of your business.
Well, that is quite untrue. Can I say straight away that in all our dealings, and we have regular meetings with the Gardaí in the depot to discuss mutual concerns, as they say.
Yeah.
I have always been treated by Martin Callaghan with the utmost respect, the utmost courtesy and the utmost graciousness by the people in the depot. I want to make that emphatic point. And the only people, well, first of all, I can't see any situation where the commissioner would reprimand me or be in a position to do so. I mean, I'm not one of his subordinates. I don't wear one of his uniforms, and I'm not paid by him. So I can't imagine that happening. But the only other people who would ever have been in a room with Noel Brett and me would be him, the commissioner, an assistant commissioner, and somebody of inspector or higher rank. So I don't know where the newspaper got this story.
Right.
And I can't see it arising anyway. We would have robust exchanges because we're there on a mission as well, and we are dependent completely on Garda enforcement of the law on the roads. Insofar as we can't enforce the law, they have to do it. And we would be asking robustly for more and more resources and facilities, and they're point of view would be, we can't give them to you because we don't have the money, we can't afford it,
right,
and all the cutbacks, etc.
Yeah.
So there would be exchanges, but never in the way that you say.
Right, okay, well that's that one nailed. Now, can I come back to when you got it in 2012, from whom did you get it?
We got it, Noel Brett was given it by, I do believe, John Wilson.
Right. But I mean, just the two of you would have seen all the names?
Well, as far as I know, Noel Brett contacted me straight away. We met in Boswell's hotel at short notice, and we went through it for an hour and a half, 2 hours. And the next morning, he dispatched it to the minister and the ACNG.
Right. And then what? Did you get a response back?
Arising out of that, then, there was the Mahoney report.
Right.
And our minister, Varadkar, asked the board of the Road Safety Authority to comment on that report, not to analyse it, not to examine it, to read it and to comment. And our comment as a board to Varadkar was that this was unsatisfactory, to say the least, and that, and the phrase we used, it raised more questions than it answered.
Right.
And that's what we said to him. Then, if I may say so, I don't know whether you've ever seen the Clare Daily Mick Wallace examination of the Mahoney report, which was an astoundingly good piece of work and forensically examined every single sentence. And it seemed to me eviscerated the Mahoney report. And I do believe, although this is only conjecture, but I would suspect that they had legal forensic advice on putting the examination together.
Yeah, they've been going at it fairly like a dog at a bone.
Yes, and every single sentence examined and contradicted and questioned and all of those things. A very good report indeed.
So then when the next report came out, I presume that you felt glad with the kind of comment that you had made as an authority. And was that the only return, so to speak, of the authorities to you and the RSA?
Was that the only return of the office?
You know, that you had sent it, well, Noel Brett had sent it to the Minister and
yes.
the Controller and Auditor General.
Yes, thereafter it was out of our hands.
Right.
Because obviously we felt this, we're dealing with criminal offences and we're letting you know that we think this is a criminal offence, so over to you.
Right. It's going to be interesting to see how this ends. Just a couple of callers. Fair play to Gay Byrne and Leo Varadkar. They only said what the people are thinking. Another call said, Marion, this mania for apologies is getting out of hand. The commissioner was defending his police force and showing loyalty to them, which can only be good. Well, maybe that is only good, but can I remind that caller that the Smithwick Tribunal, which was dealing with different matters altogether, said that on Garda Síochána today, a prioritisation of protection of the good name of the force over the protection of those who seek to tell the truth is regrettable. So on the one hand, you can understand loyalty, but on the other hand, an excessive loyalty can lead to very bad things happening.
But Marion, can I make one other point? And
yeah?
That is, I think all large organisations eventually end up justifying themselves, whether it's RTE or Guinness's or Aer Lingus or Google or the Garda Síochána or anybody else, once they are attacked or come under pressure, they tend to be a conspiracy against the public.
Mm.
And they tend to be there for their own protection. And the Garda Síochána, as I have found out from my dealings with them, and it's over a 5 year, 7, 8 year period now, I have found them to be, to a great extent, somehow a secret society. And I was extraordinarily impressed by what they knew and how they did their work on the one hand, and extraordinarily depressed at their reluctance to let people know how good they were.
In what kinds of ways?
And because they tend to have the attitude, this is our knowledge, this is what we know, and we own it, and you're not going to get it. It just runs through as a vein of a sort of a pulse that runs through the organisation, that we own this information and we've got this information and we're going to very, very reluctantly let you have it. And mind you, we and the Road Safety Authority, we would be counted as semi sort of insiders, like we're all on the same side with regard to road traffic,
yes,
to traffic offences and so on. But nonetheless, we are still outsiders, and we are let know that we are outsiders.
In what way, Gay? I mean, you're not talking about names or anything here. You're talking about statistics, or
no. It's just a feeling you have. It's just a feeling that you get that we are. It's hard to define, but the only way I can describe it to you is that it's a sort of secret society, and we are all in this together, and everybody else is outside. Now, this would probably arise from people being inculcated with the feeling of what you know is private and confidential,
yeah,
and you don't share it with anybody, and so that would grow within the organisation. But I merely make the point that they are not alone in this regard, that every large organisation becomes this kind of thing when they are under pressure and when they're under attack.
Circle the wagons.
Yes.
Another caller says, it's great to see someone do some straight talking, no bull, keep it up, gay. That's from Shane in Talla. Another caller says, isn't gay wonderful and has never lost his excellence in expressing what he wants to say and says it so eloquently. I'm a listener and follower of gay all his days, so that tells my advanced years. Long live gay and thank you for all you've done for us. So that's a very
nice. Yeah. Isn't that nice?
So anyway, if anybody wants to know anything else you're thinking about, they can tune into you tomorrow. No, Sunday. Yeah, tomorrow is Sunday.
Yes, tomorrow is Sunday. You're beginning to lose it, Marianne. that's the first sign, darling.
Oh, dear, oh, dear,
that's
oh, dear.
That's the first sign, yes. Tomorrow, 2 o'clock.
Lyric.
If I have any other information, I shall impart it.
Great. Okay.
Thank you, Marianne.
Gayburn, thank you very, very much thank indeed. You. Good morning Goodbye. To you.
1850 715 150.